Buzz on Business.
You are listening to the Buzz on Business podcast, your place for everything happening at the Spears School of Business, located right here on the beautiful campus of Oklahoma State University. I am Stephen Howard, and I am joined today by the Dean of the Spears School of Business, Dr. Jim Payne. And Dean Payne, today we've got a pretty special guest here. He's kind of let us set up in his office here and taken over. And this is a busy guy who needs no introduction, but do you want to take that away?
Yeah, it's OSU's Athletic Director, Chad Weinberg. So thanks for joining with us today, Chad.
Thank you.
I know you've been busy lately, the past couple of weeks. And so just jokingly, do you want to give me advice on University of Kentucky and their basketball search? Having been, growing up in Kentucky.
I'm sure that they've got that well under control. So Mitch does a great job there, has for a long time. So I know he's prepared and ready to rock and roll. So.
Yeah. So we're really looking forward to Coach Lutch joining us. So as a basketball season holder, I'm really optimistic about the upcoming season. So, but I just want to start off, you're going to be teaching a course for us in the fall and just want to get your thoughts on that and the course itself and what have you been thinking about?
Well, I'm really, really looking forward to that opportunity. I really don't. This is definitely for sure a new thing for me. I've never taught a course before of any kind, much less a college course. So, but I really am excited about it. That's one of the things I talk about all the time. I mean, it's college, I think college towns, college communities are the best, the best places on the planet. And that's all because of the energy of and the opportunity to be around all the young people that are on a college campus and all the energy that they bring. And so obviously a big part of the reason I love working, here in athletics. And so this will just be another part of that is just to get to be around the students. And so really looking forward to that. Been having conversations, and I'm sure I will get even coached up some more over the summer on what that looks like and what I need to be doing, but it'll definitely be a learning process. I'm sure I will learn more than the students will, at least in year one as we go through it. But hopefully they'll give me the patience to do that. But I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it'll be an opportunity just to really, I knew what I thought about what working in college athletics or in athletics would be like before I started working in athletics. And then you learn how it really works. And so I think that that's what I hope to be able to talk about in our class is just how these things really, really work. And I think I will plan to use some guest lecturers through that, just use my connections that we have here at OSU Athletics and that I've had, just in the course of my career to bring some of those perspectives into the classroom and put in front of them too, that I think will be way more valuable than them just hearing from me every week. And so really looking forward to that opportunity, and hopefully they leave that class with a really good understanding of sort of what are the opportunities available to them, because there are so many of them. I mean, that's not just one thing. There's no one path. There's lots of different ways that you can get involved in college athletics. And so hopefully they leave there knowing kind of what those are, what those look like, and how they might want to start out if that's the path they want to go on, or really any other athletics, of sports, entertainment, whatever, because it really there's a lot of similarities involved, whether it's professional sports or other kinds of entertainment. So I think we'll be able to touch on all of that.
And that's advanced sports marketing, 4713, for all the students who want to look that up to get enrolled. But do you know of any other athletic directors who teach classes or have taught a class?
Yeah,
it's got to be pretty unique, right?
Yeah. I don't know how often or how much it's done. I know there are some that have done it. And I think that's, again, I think a lot of us, for the same reasons, we're on a college campus, right? I mean, and that's what we like about it. And so I know there are some other ADs that have done some, I don't know what classes they've taught, but I think they've been in the classroom, and I'm sure it's for similar reasons. And I don't know that it's a unicorn, but it's probably
a little unique.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody agrees the college landscape has changed with NIL and the transfer portal. I look every morning to see what's going on in the transfer portal. It's almost like religion. I got side bets here with Stephen and who's coming or going. But how's that played into college athletics from your perspective?
Well, I think that, you know, college athletics is seen a lot of changes just through the history of it. And, there's a time when, schools didn't recruit at all, right? That just wasn't something that happened. And then recruiting kind of came onto the scene. So obviously that would have been a big change at the time that happened. So there's been changes happening. I don't want to overplay it. What I do think is different about this time is how much significant change is happening all at the same time. I mean, any one of these things happening by themselves would be significant. But when you stack the transfer portal on top of name, image and likeness rules changing, on top of conference realignment, and there's just a lot of dynamic change that's kind of happening all at the same time. And I don't know that that's ever happened before in college athletics. And so it does. It just makes it a very dynamic time to be living through. And so that's exactly what we're doing. I mean, we're just trying to, work our way through this the best way. Nobody has a roadmap. Mm-hmm. No university, no athletic department around the country has a roadmap. We're all doing the same things. And, I think early on, because I lost sleep over it, in the early stages of it after, whatever it was, July 21st, when the news kind of first broke of the conference realignment. We were just getting into name, image, and likeness, the initial stages of that. Started July 1st that year. I obviously lost some sleep early on about it. And then, it kind of hit me. And we had a lot of conversations about that in the department that, there is a lot of things going on right now that we have no control over, just none whatsoever, whether it's happening by court order. Obviously, I don't control any of the courts. Or whether it's happening by legislative action, I don't control any of the legislatures, whatever it might be. We cannot waste our valuable time and energy on trying to control things that we have no control over. What we have to do is be hyper-focused on controlling the things that we can control. And I just believed then and still believe now that if we do a really good job of that Oklahoma State Athletics will be just fine. We'll find ourselves in a good place, in the right place. And so that's just kind of constantly been what we've tried to focus on. And I think you see that with, where we end up every year. We're perennially in the top 25 in the Learfield Director's Cup. That's a measurement of athletic departments across all sports. In Division I, there's 370-ish, I think, programs. So to be in the top 25 of that group is significant. And when you factor in the budgets that some of those schools are working with, and there's a lot that goes into that, but the kind of the group that is regularly in that top 25, I think there's one school that I would say that we look similar to from a budget perspective, and the other 23 have budgets that probably start somewhere in the vicinity of $25 or $30 million more than ours is, and then goes north from there. And so we kind of are constantly punching above our weight is what I kind of refer to it as. And that is, I think, just because, again, we're doing a really good job of controlling what we can control.
Yeah, no doubt. You mentioned the roadmap. And one of the things I liked about the process of building that roadmap out is that there was a relationship struck up between Spears Business and the athletic department, specifically with with regards to NIL and the brand squad that came around. And it was a really, really interesting time. And Spears is kind of getting more and more into that business of sports. And I think you teaching this class this fall is just another sign of that. But multiple student organizations like the Brand Squad and the Sports Management Club. And I think that relationship between the business school and the athletic department is beneficial, for both sides. Do you kind of feel that same way?
Well, absolutely. And I don't think there's any better probably tangible example of that than the Brand Squad. I think that's a great story. I love to tell this story. So, you know, as this was coming on, we knew it was coming. And so, you know, we're going through all the efforts and we're partnering with different companies out there, whether it's Influencer or Altius, or, you know, there's a number of sort of companies that were and still are good partners to have. But those were partnerships that a lot of schools were entering into with a lot of those same companies, right? And so you kind of got a sense that although they're going to be very helpful to us, they aren't differentiating us in any way. And so we were looking at how do we do something different, you know, for our student athletes. And so I give Kevin Clintworth a lot of credit. You know, he volunteered to call over to the Spears School of Business and see if there was any way, you know, that we might be able to partner with them. And I think got a hold of Dr. Kuzmeski and was all prepared to, you know, really lay out what this whole name, image, and likeness thing is, and had, you know, the big long story.
Really set her straight, right?
Because it is a big long story, right, of trying to explain this new world that we're in. And she was all over it. You know, she was like, you know, she quickly was like, you know, I get it. I have two sons that played college athletics, and I'm, and so it was great. He got to just short circuit all of that, and they were able to get down to the brass tacks of it, and that was the beginning stages of the Brand Squad, and it's been a great partnership for us, and it truly is a differentiator for us, and I think that, you know, that is always significant to be able to have. Now it is becoming more widely known. I know that a lot of schools around the country have reached out to us in the athletic department, I think directly to the Spears School of Business to say, mm-hmm. hey, you know, what are you doing here with this Brand Squad thing? Is this something that we can, you know, participate in or duplicate or whatever it may be? And so, which is a great compliment, right? It's very flattering for people to want to imitate it, right? And so, but it has been. And, you know, there's been so many negative things said about name, image, and likeness, right? And we hear it a lot, especially early on, as, you know, people say, you know, I don't like this change, and this is not what I remember college athletics being about, and mm-hmm. I don't know that I like this. I think we've worked through a lot of those things, and people are starting to see it a little bit different. And part of that difference, I think, is there are some good things, mm-hmm. you know, that come out of it. And one of them is, you know, if they're able to you know, make a little bit of money, you know, that's, who can blame them for that, right? In some cases, that can be very helpful to them and their experience and even with their families or whatever it might be. But the other thing about it is you know, I've said that a lot of our student athletes are going to leave here with, you know, with a PhD and as a student mm-hmm. in this kind of brand marketing, you know, this yep. building their own brand and what all goes into that, you know, in terms of entering into contracts and agreements and negotiating those things mm-hmm. and working with the Brand Squad on how do you build your personal brand? What yep. is it that you want your brand to be? And those are things that, you know, I didn't learn at that stage and yeah. in school, you know, I just didn't have those same opportunity. Now the world was different, but it wasn't social media, those kinds of things. but you know, I think that's a really, really good thing that they're going to leave here so much further along, I think, in that regard, than I was when I left here. I mean, the reality is we all have brands,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
Whether you know it or not, or whether you acknowledge it or not, everybody has a personal brand. And so what they're getting is a PhD and what they want that brand to be and how they want to build it.
Absolutely. And for our Spear students to get to be involved in that process too is just such a, it's a wonderful thing. And it's really interesting because I've actually heard you say this before too, for students who are wanting to get into the college athletics business and entering that landscape right now, is revenue generation still the best way to kind of show that worth and show that value so that you can begin putting a resume together? Is that what you would kind of?
Well, I think it's probably more important than ever before, right? Because generating revenue is such an important part of everything that we do, because you just, you have to have resources to be able to provide the services that you want to provide to the student athletes and, everything that goes on in an athletic department or professional franchise or anything else, right? I mean, it is about revenue generation. And so I think for you to be able to develop the skills, have the understanding of and be able to prove that you can do that, mm-hmm. I think is very important. That's not to say that there aren't a whole lot of other areas in an athletic department that don't directly touch revenue generation, and we have to have those areas. But even in those areas, I think it's important for anyone that's interested in advancing in a career in athletics to understand the importance of revenue generation, yep. How that works, what role that you can play in that, and the importance of it to be able to continue to advance. So it's critically important. And now, like I said, now more, I think more than ever, just with the conference realignment and the positioning that's going on with that, with name, image, and likeness and everything, it is about generating resources and through revenue.
Well, I just want to give you a shout out. Last fall, I was invited to the etiquette dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And I was talking to someone from Simmons Bank. And so you also do financial literacy, yes. Program for athletes. Maybe can you elaborate, yeah. on some of the support services you provide?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So we launched, I lose track of time, but it's probably been 3 years or so ago, our Office of Leadership and Student Athlete Development. Juwana Harding is the leader of that area for us. And in fact, we just had our latest etiquette dinner last night. It's part of our program called Suiting Up Seniors. So there's a number of different sort of curriculum, I guess, that student athletes go through kind of their junior and senior year of school, just for leadership development, career readiness, so resume, mock interviews, etiquette dinner, those types of things, financial literacy. And at the end of that, if you've completed this course, then we provide a business suit for either men or
women. I think I'll sign up for this one.
And it's always great to see them get those suits. They look fantastic, look ready to go, and I think are very proud of it. And it is a really, really neat program. I love, it's one of my favorite events to go to every year is the etiquette dinners, just because you get to sit there at dinner and have conversations with the student athletes and learn things about them other than their sport, that you don't really get to talk about, and what they're going to do when they leave here and their dreams and aspirations and all those things. And just incredible young people here, very talented and driven. But the financial literacy has obviously been an important part of it as name, image, likeness has come on board, right? As if now you're going to be, in some cases, making, what could be, pretty good sums of money through your agreements or whatever it might be. And so what are you doing with that, right? And there's going to be taxes involved and things like that that you need to be ready for. And what does that look like? And so it's a pretty, I think it's sort of basic, but really, really important information for them to understand. Now, there's some, I'm sure they're way further along from that. If they're a business student, for example, and they're in finance or accounting, they're going to, know a lot more about it than some others. But it's just really important for us to give a basic understanding of all of that to all of our student athletes now more than ever.
So you're a two-time Spears Business alum, undergrad in business administration, as well as your MBA. And
I'm going to do a shameless plug for us real quick. Our MBA got, excuse me, online MBA.
Shameless? What are you talking about?
Well, okay, okay. Our online MBA was recently ranked as the number 16 online MBA in America by U.S. News and World Report. So we're really proud of that. But I'm curious as to how much you use that business school mindset every day here in the athletic department and what that kind of has meant to you over your career.
Well, I think I'm absolutely certain I use it in some form or fashion every day, right? Because there, you know, what we talk about in college athletics is that we run an enterprise with business principles. We don't run a business per se, like maybe I was taught to run in at the Spear School of Business. Because there's just some things that we do that don't make business sense, right? At the end of the day, you know, there's some things that we do that if it were purely a business, we wouldn't do them, but we're not, right? We're in an educational environment on a campus of a higher education institution. And so we are about providing opportunities as broad-based as we can provide them and competing at a high level. And then we have to do the business things to make all of that work. But we use business principles here all the time. Certainly things that I learned at the Spear School of Business from that standpoint. But there's a lot of other things that I use every day that I learned at the Spear School of Business, like, Dr. Quibel's business communications class, for example. I mean, I think about that every time I'm, writing something out, from a business perspective or any kind of business communication or whatever. And that's hugely important, right? Is how you communicate what it is that that you're doing. That's a big part, I think, of what I do as much as anything in this role is just communicating those things. So it kind of is all over the board. So whether that's business law or business communications or accounting and finance and reading a spreadsheet and,
So just as a sports fan, could you give us any tidbits or insights in terms of the college football playoff format in the near future?
That's kind of a loaded question, actually. And that is another area that is sort of dynamically changing as we speak. So, it's expanding. We all know that. And it's going to kind of evolve in that expansion. So we'll go to a 12-team playoff here to finish off what is the current agreement of the original college football contract. So we're in the last 2 years of that original contract, and we were able to negotiate with the television partners, broadcast partners, the expansion to 12 teams.
And that starts this
next football season. That's right. And so that'll look roughly the way it looked under the 4-team format in terms of, again, the business side of it, the contractual agreement side of it, and the way the conferences will share the revenue distributions and the access to it and those kinds of things. But then once those 2 years are over, so 24 and 25, so starting in the 26th year, we'll enter into the new college football format. And that is still being finalized. Those details, I think some of the working parameters have come out publicly, but nothing has been finalized yet. But there is already talk of it, obviously expanding to 14 teams, not staying at 12 teams. But the bigger things are, that some of the business principles of that agreement are going to change. How we share the revenue will change. The access to the playoff will look different. And we're still, like I say, finalizing all of those details, but we're pretty, those things are going to happen. It's another area that that college athletics is evolving. I think the good thing is that Oklahoma State is part of the Big 12 is certainly part of that. We know that there is now one power conference that's not factoring into that like they were before. And so there's just a really good example of it's good to be, still included. But I think it's pretty clear that there are a couple of conferences that are starting to to distance and set a little bit of a different pace and are taking advantage of their place to do that. And so we just have to kind of constantly be mindful of that, be aware of that, and under Commissioner Yormark's leadership, make sure that we're doing the right things that we need to do to, you know, continue to stay competitive with those conferences and with the schools in those conferences.
I know basketball runs deep in your family. Your uncle, Kevin Weiberg, former Big 12 commissioner and on the basketball committee, as well as your brother, Brett, still at Southwestern Oklahoma State as the head coach there. And so how much of a dream come true was it to get named to the Division I basketball committee for that 5-year term you start this year?
Well, that's a great question. I don't even know if it was a dream. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that was so out there my whole life. You know, you just the selection committee, right? Made all those big decisions of who's in the tournament and what seed are they and where are they playing and all those things. It was kind of this almost mystical group. And so I don't even know that I ever really thought that the day would come that I'd be one of them, but here we are. And so it really is an honor. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. It comes at a time when there's discussion about expanding the basketball tournament and those kinds of things too. So it'll be interesting, I think, to be part of that group as those things are being discussed. And I think it'll be great. I told Coach Lutz that in the hiring process there that my goal is to have to leave the room when they're talking about my school. And I said, please do everything you can to make sure that I'm not in this room the entire time. So, he agreed, and I think we'll get there. Yes, yeah, so he was good with that. So I look forward to having to step out of the room while they talk about the Cowboys.
Well, a lot of folks might not know how it works. It is a big group. It gets in the same room. Is it in Texas, or where is the group physically meeting? Tell us a little bit about.
I don't know all the specifics of it yet myself. So we'll have meetings this summer. They do summer meetings, and I think that'll kind of serve as the orientation for the new committee members. And there's 12 of us in total, and there'll be two new members, myself and one other in the group. And I think that's probably, honestly, one of the things I'm looking the most forward to, and what I've always heard from other committee members, is by far the most rewarding thing of it is getting to know the other members of the committee and work with them in that way, and just the relationships that you form with them. I think will be tremendously beneficial to me and hopefully to Oklahoma State, just to get to know those other athletic directors and commissioners around the country. And have those kinds of relationships with them, that you forge in that setting. So I'm looking forward to that and to learning what all it really means and how it all works. But, so we will have meetings during the course of the year, the season for sure. I think obviously it ramps up as you get later into the season. And then they meet in Indianapolis at the headquarters of the NCAA. For the final selection process, or at least they have. I guess that's always something that could change. But but what is weird about it is, I went to the NCAA Wrestling Championships for a brief time this year, and it was important for me to do that, and to the Big 12 Basketball Championships, because both of those will be the last time that I'm able to do that for 5 years. So while I'm on this committee, by the time those things are happening, I'll be in Indianapolis with the committee for the final selection. And then from the selection sites, they send us to the regionals. So we are actually on the ground helping run and administrate the tournament from there on out through the Final Four.
Wow. Well, I hope you don't end up as a stat nerd like me. I don't want that for you, but I'm really excited for you.
I don't plan to be. If I need that, I'll just come straight to the expert. So,
well, I know you're very, very busy. I just want to, on behalf of Spears, thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you.
It's been a great conversation.
I'm a proud, Spears alum, and I'm very proud of what the college is doing, and walk into that new building and just am a little bit envious because I'm like, where was this when I was here? But it was a beautiful new facility, and it's just great to see all the great work that you're doing and everyone at the Superior School of Business is doing. So
we look forward to your classes, and go Pokes.
Go Pokes. Mm-hmm.